Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Hey, Scott. Thank you so much, Daryl. Thank you. I am just over the moon over those praise reports. God is so faithful. He's so faithful. So turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 4. I think we're in chapter, yeah, to Acts chapter 4, please. And I'm going to get us started with a word of prayer. I'm going to pick up from where I left off last week on some issues that the Lord has really put on my heart for us, as especially as we start to close out our year. I think it's important that we remember our call and our commission. So again, Acts chapter 4, and then I'll get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. I thank you, Father God, that you are hearing and answering our prayers. And as we listen to those praise reports, I feel overwhelmed with your goodness. How many of those issues have we spoken on or prayed about for years? And Lord, sometimes it seems like it would take forever. But you were moving. You were moving. And today we hear and we see the fruit of our prayers. And we are so humbled for the privilege to be counted as an intercessor, birthing your heavenly will here on earth. As we go into your word tonight, Lord God, I just pray that you would open up these passages to us. I pray, Lord God, that you would settle things around us and that you would help to get this message across in a way that would honor you and encourage us to stay the course in the days ahead. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. I thought it was interesting that Daryl said Ricky's messages are often practical. And it meant so much to me, to be honest with you, because there's so much in the Word of God. And because it was written 2,000 years ago, and not even compiled all together into a canon of scripture until, you know, the last 400-ish years, it can be hard for us to take these passages and apply it in our lives. It can be hard to say, how does that fit today? And that's why so often people will say, well, that's outdated. Well, the Word of God is never outdated. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're the ones that change, and it's not always for the better. So the last two times that we were together, the Lord put on my heart, you know, to share kind of the end from the beginning, if you will. And I just did this summary of Genesis to Acts, all leading to the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in Solomon's temple. And I shared the experience the Lord gave me about the 10 explosions for his kingdom. And I think that was just before Thanksgiving. And those are 10 arenas that the Lord is about to influence in great measure. And I think it's important for us to keep those things before us as we pray and as we pursue God's will. Then I discussed the suffering that the apostles went through to birth the kingdom of God here in this earth. And I touched on the process, you know, that Jesus took the apostles through to mature them from wanderers which is how he found them, to warriors after his resurrection. And what he did to unpack the scriptures from Genesis 3 to Malachi 3, revealing how he really fulfilled every passage depicting his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. Over 350 prophecies about him that he fulfilled. The odds of which, you know, we don't have enough time to roll out those numbers. So it was through his influence in their lives that these wanderers became warriors and really ready to now be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And, you know, as Daryl said, and Ricky does a practical message, tonight's message is practical. It's a practical message to stay the course. And how we, as we are maturing in God, are, you know, ourselves moved from wanderers to warriors and into action to bring about his heavenly will here on earth. So let's look at the commission first. And I'm just going to read these two passages, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. I'm just going to read those to you because this is our commission. Practically speaking, he was very clear. This is our commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Why? Because he took back dominion. When he overcame sin and death, he took back dominion. And so all power is given to him over heaven and earth. So he said to the apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Now, what are those things? Teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I've commanded you. Everything he taught them that we have in the passages of the Gospels, those four books encompass the things he taught them. And the epistles kind of unpack that in greater measure. But he unpacked the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to his disciples while he was there. And that is what they were to teach the people. In Mark 16:15, he says, "And he said unto them, Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What is the gospel message? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the gospel in a nutshell. Everything that we have in the four gospels, well, you know, that's all around. But the core message is John 3:16. And it's probably the first scripture you ever memorized when you got saved. Or if you started with, you know, the shorter ones like Jesus wept. That one was pretty easy. So when Jesus met with them after that resurrection, after his resurrection, and remember in John 20:22, he came into the room. He appeared in the room while the doors were shut, and they were discussing everything that they had found out. And he blew his spirit, his breath, upon them. And he granted them the authority to represent him and his kingdom here on earth. So he's given them the instruction, "Go ye unto all the world," right, "and preach the gospel. Teach them to observe the things I've commanded you. Baptize them in my name." And this goes across the board. And, you know, when you think about this, "Go ye unto all the earth. Teach the nations." Teach the nations. That is the covenant of America. When Reverend Hunt landed on our shores in 1607, and they ripped that ship apart, and they planted the cross in the sand on the shores of Virginia, he dedicated this nation to this commission. And there's a covenant made. Now, we've really messed up on our end time and time again, but the Lord in his mercy through repentance has stayed his hand. And he's allowed us to continue to fulfill the commission. This commission and fulfill the covenant for which our nation was dedicated. So when he met with them and granted them the authority to represent him and his kingdom here on earth, he did that for his disciples who were really in this 40-day period, they were transitioning from disciples to apostles who would then disciple others. They were transitioning from wanderers to warriors. At this point in time, he now gives them the authority to fulfill and to implement the things, the precepts, the lessons, the nuggets, the revelation of the kingdom of heaven. He gives them the authority to release that into those that they will encounter. They now had the power to do so. When we look at this, when he granted them the authority, and when we look at, on Pentecost in Acts 1:8, we read that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, granting them power, the power of the indwelling of his Spirit to walk out the commission I just mentioned. That's dunamis power, and that's where we get our English word dynamite from. That's power. That's power packed. And I'm telling you, you can't release his kingdom in the earth and bring a nation from a nation that's about to, crumble to a nation that is rising up to fulfill the destiny that God has created it to fulfill without the power of the indwelling of his Spirit, the dunamis power. When we read through the book of Acts, we see the application of these events roll out. Everything that he taught them in those four Gospels, 89 chapters, power-packed chapters of lessons, during which time Jesus demonstrated the doctrines of the kingdom of heaven through his examples, through his teachings, his admonishments, his reprimands, even at times were pretty rough, but they were done in love. He demonstrated his love of them and those he served. Each lesson, each prayer they witnessed, every life they saw him touch, every word he spoke served to transform these wanderers into the warriors they needed to be to effectively represent the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' ministry was a small region. I think it was like 1,500 square miles or something. But the apostles, it was like 150,000 square miles. Because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and God sent them out. From the north to the south, they went all the way into Africa, up into Europe, into areas of Asia, all through the Middle East, which is where most of them in these regions were martyred. The Book of Acts, it serves as a bridge from the Gospels to the Epistles. So it demonstrates the application of Christ's ministry and his work on the cross, and is, of course, the fulfillment of the Great Commission. It's a powerful yet historical account of God releasing his kingdom in the earth through his ambassadors, the apostles. The purpose of this was to birth the ecclesia, the English word, the closest we have to church, or the Greek word for church, represented by many congregations birthed under the apostolic age, who would then continue to release his kingdom in the earth. The ripple effect of a move of God. The epistles that we have in the New Testament serve to further instruct and refine and purify and ignite the individuals as well as the church as a whole. And some were planted, you know, directly by apostle missionary journeys, and others are the result of those who were in Jerusalem for Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and they heard and received the gospel message and took it back to their communities. Other churches came about as a result of the dispersion of the early church members who lived in Jerusalem and were scattered abroad after Stephen was martyred, and the persecution of Christians really intensified. And you can read that account in Acts chapter 7 and 8. The apostles continued to minister and to strengthen and develop those they encountered through these letters and or their missionary journeys. That's Acts encompasses all of this. It's a remarkable thing. So when we talk about bringing forth, you know, we've talked about the disciples being transitioned to apostles. We talked about them and their ministry and the growth of the early church. But when we talk about our responsibility to bring forth the kingdom of heaven here in this earth, the kingdom of God here in this earth, when the Lord prayed, he prayed this. What does that look like? And what is the kingdom of God? And that is a message that is very, very extensive. And so I'm not going to give an extensive message on that tonight. But when we read through the Gospels, we see this repeated theme of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And these terms are mentioned 112 times in the Gospels. Luke alone speaks of the kingdom of God 38 times. And, you know, he was the author of Acts as well. And it's significantly more than the other three Gospels. He understood it, and he unpacked it in the Gospel of Luke. The book of Acts refers to the kingdom of God 8 times. So if we look at all of this over the course of 3.5 years, the Lord teaching on his kingdom 112 times, it seems like it should be something significant for the church to understand and walk in even today, and I dare say especially today. And like I said, I'm not going to give an extensive teaching on this, but I'll prepare a message to do in January on this, because it is an important thing for us to understand. What does it mean to bring forth the kingdom of God into the earth? What does that even look like? But for today, in a nutshell, and this is what we can always remember. The kingdom of God encompasses his will, his plans, and his purposes. Jesus himself said and implied that everything he did was to fulfill the will, the plans, and the purpose of his Father in heaven. He lived out the kingdom of God in every word and deed. To know Jesus intimately, to know his will and his ways, is to know and understand the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we have God as King, and we have Jesus as the Son and Mediator, and the church, also known as the ambassadors, would be his inheritance or joint heirs in the kingdom of God. So if the church is his inheritance, what mindset should we have? Should we reflect the kingdom of heaven, or should we reflect earthly things? You know, I've seen some of what princes go through to be kings. When they're being prepared for the crown and the training they go through is completely different than the training, than even everything that their siblings go through. When someone is being prepared for the crown, they're learning the laws of that kingdom. They're coming to understand what their constitution is and what every single element of that is. When their siblings are out playing freely, they are in the classroom learning about their kingdom and the subjects that they will rule over someday. The kingdom, and to know what the kingdom of heaven is to be one who studies these things with great eagerness and willingness, thanking the Lord that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that the eyes of our heart would be open for his kingdom as we pursue his word and come to know him. Our responsibility as heirs or joint heirs or even as ambassadors, and I'm going to talk about ambassadors in a greater measure in a minute, but as our responsibility is to reflect the kingdom that we represent in all that we do, in every word and deed, we should reflect the kingdom of heaven. You know, we've heard that term, are we so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good? And I have to say, that's a very wrong attitude. We should be so heavenly minded that we can implement and we can influence and we can roll out the kingdom of heaven into the lives of every person that we encounter. We are supposed to be influencing our nation. We're supposed to be influencing our families, our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplace. We're supposed to be influencing and bringing forth God's kingdom into those arenas. You know, as the church, we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Christ and that we're to be reconciled to God. Not only that, as ambassadors, we're to help reconcile others to God. Is that not bringing his kingdom? Is that not influencing with his kingdom? We're not only Christ's inheritance, we are fellow heirs with him. But in addition to this, we are to be his outstretched hands in the earth today. So with all of that said, should we not then strive to live as though we're heirs and ambassadors for Christ and his kingdom? Shouldn't we seek God for how we're supposed to live our lives? Are we supposed to be of this world? Are we otherworldly? You know, when I read, and Mom had us declare this in our last CLGOE, but as I read this over, I was listening to it every time. It was Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, David wrote that, but I was pondering that over the last few weeks. And I was thinking, is it possible that David was looking to the fulfillment of all things? Is it possible that he saw, and I know he did. I'm asking this question because I want you to think about it, but I know that he saw the Messiah who would come, that he knew he would come and restore heavenly dominion to this earth. I knew that he saw this. He spoke about it in great detail in his Psalms. But isn't the great commission given by the Lord to his apostles and ultimately to us to be the application of the restoration of that heavenly dominion here on earth? You know, it's important for us to ask these questions. Ask them of ourselves. Ask them as we read the word. Ask the Lord to unpack this and reveal it to us. When you study the word, when you read the word asking questions. Because when we come with a curious mind, seeking him for his answers, he is more than happy to provide them to us. And we come ready to learn from him rather than just kind of reading through it. You know, almost, have you ever read a book and as you were reading, you didn't remember what you just read for this last page because your mind trailed on other things? When we read the word, our focus should be, what would you have me learn today? And digest his word so that we can influence. It can change us from within, but then we can influence.
Ricky.
Yes.
Ricky. Honey, you're
yes.
going in and out really bad and frequently.
I am? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Let me switch my earpiece. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is that better? Can
That's
you hear
good.
Me okay now? Okay, thank
yes.
you so much.
That's better. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, if Paul said that we are ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:20, if he says that we're ambassadors for Christ, Jesus forged the path for us to walk while he was here on earth, and we've got to follow in his footsteps. So if we are ambassadors, if we are the inheritance, if we're fellow heirs of the kingdom of God, then we are called to release his kingdom in the earth and bear all that he did for the sake of the kingdom. So how do we do this? How do we be his ambassadors? How do we release the kingdom of God in the earth? So if we consider the ambassadors that Trump is nominating right now, and like Mike Huckabee, the governor of Arkansas, he's been nominated to be the ambassador to Israel. So what that position would look like, he would go and he would be there at the embassy. They go in as a representative of America. They mediate between and even influence that host nation. They'll build relationships as representatives of America, not the host nation or even of themselves, but America. They'll serve to protect any U.S. citizen who travels there and work to defend and return them to America in a crisis. They can sign treaties and have full authority as a representative of America. They stand for America. They will honor our president, our country, and our citizens because they reflect us in all that they do. They're given authority to bring America and our president's will into the relationship with the host nation, in this case, Huckabee, with Israel. But he's doing this with the authority given to him by the president on behalf of America. It's a very powerful position, and it must be upheld with integrity. And this is our call as well. We're heirs of a living God. We are ambassadors for him and his kingdom, not our own, and we're co-heirs with Christ. We represent him, not ourselves. Our job is to pursue him in such a way that we might bring his heavenly will here on earth. We walk in that authority. We're endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we speak, we're doing so reflecting His kingdom and not our own. When we think about the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our responsibility is to pray for His heavenly will to influence the earth with His precepts, His ways, His purposes. All that we do should reflect His kingdom. I said that several times tonight. But is that sinking in? All that we do should reflect His kingdom. When we encounter people at the store, when we're driving in our car, when we're dropping our kids off at school, when we're talking to teachers and other parents, when we're seeing those children, are we reflecting the Lord? When we pray, do we pray as the Lord did? Do we love as He did? Do we serve as He did? This is truly the heart of that message. Do we? Every day we should ask ourselves, are we reflecting heaven? You know, they have those stickers you can put on your car. And I never wanted one of those stickers put on my car. Because the last thing I wanted to do is to accidentally pull off in front of somebody or cut somebody off because it's a foggy day and my windows are foggy and I didn't see them there. And then to see that sticker on my window or my bumper, and it reflect on Jesus. Reflect negatively on Him. I couldn't bear the thought. You know, and I used to have a lead foot. I don't have it anymore, but I used to. And I definitely didn't want to reflect that way. I wanted to honor Him, even in my driving. Last time we met, I talked about Acts 3, where Peter and John, in the name of Jesus, healed the lame man at Solomon's portico. So let's look at part 2 of that account, and that's Acts chapter 4. And so I'm going to read through and do a little bit of commentary and then read a little bit more. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they, Peter and John, spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, you know, because now they're all gathered because this man has been healed. The lame man was healed. He'd been there for 40 years. Everybody knew him. I'm sure the disciples had seen him many times over because he was older than most of them. Jesus saw him, but the appointed hour for him to be healed was this moment because the Lord was about to break out a revival. So now all the priests are gathered, the captains, the Sadducees, they all came up, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Now, talk about representing. He was representing. What this is the stone, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so if you remember last week I talked about this, there was an appointed moment etched in the annals of history where a miracle so great, a man born a cripple, was to be healed on the spot. So thoroughly was his healing that he was leaping and dancing and praising the Lord. This was to be a catalyst to another mighty move of the Spirit, and 5,000 were added to their number that day as Peter's words once again cut to the heart. Peter and John now had the opportunity to give the essence of that message to the highest court in their community. The chief priest, the high priest, they're all there. And everyone down the line. Verse 13. Now when they, the Pharisees, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So if we take all of this into account, understanding what earthly ambassadors do, knowing that we are his heavenly ambassadors, as we proceed through, and I want to take this passage and apply it to today. Practically speaking, what does this look like? As we close out this year, if you were to go up and the Lord were to say to you, now is the moment. I want you to reach into this person's life because I'm about to heal them. And you walked away. Who would you have to answer to? Would you walk away from that thinking, it's okay, nobody will ever know? That's a big mistake, because the Lord knows. He put it in your heart. But if you were to reach into their lives, and if the Lord says, I'm about to heal them, and when I do, I'm going to give you the words to say. You reach down, you grab hold of their hand, pull them up on their feet, their bones become strengthened, their ankles are strengthened, and they are leaping and dancing and praising the Lord. What do you do then? have a nice day, and walk away? Or is that moment of chaos, really, which would ensue, the opportunity that God has given you to give the glory to Him, to represent His kingdom, to share the gospel? Would you give a fluffy message? Oh, He loves you so much. He came and He suffered to give you eternal life. Would you give them the truth? The sin that you're in could lead you to hell, but He's given you a way to spend eternity with Him. The same one who healed this lame man has given you access to Him. You need only repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. Peter and John said, "You killed him." Now that's bold. But are we bold when we need to be? Are we sheepish? Are we worried about ourselves? These are questions that I ask myself. So when I share these questions, I do so in love, knowing this. I'm not going to ask you to think about something I have not also thought about and asked myself. As we proceed through the end of 2024, and the Lord told me 2024 would be the year of reclamation. He told Mom it would be the year of liberty. I believe they're one and the same. Reclaiming our nation for the freedoms it represents. The liberty. The bondage of the cabal being broken. As we exit this year and move into 2025, the year of justice, I'm going to give you some bullet points that I would encourage you to consider in your daily life from these passages. The Word of God has life application, and we must apply that to our lives every single day, or we're not growing. We're not growing in Him. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. And we may not have the opportunity in our lifetime to maybe touch on all of these points. But the truth is, based on our position, but the truth is we should be praying for those who do. Because our prayers are an essential part of releasing God's heavenly will into this earth. So the first thing is be bold in the authority that's been granted you. You know, we may negotiate with the highest courts in the land, or we may not, but it's important to be bold in what God gives us. Whether we are ministering to somebody in a grocery store or whether God has given us voice at the Supreme Court, we must be bold with the authority we've been given. We are armed with the authority of God. If you remember, Peter once ran when conflict arose. Do you remember? Before the cock crows three times, you will deny you know me. No, 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 I'll die for you. And when that rooster crowed that third time, Peter knew the Lord's word was true. And he had failed. And he fled. But not now. With the authority of heaven within him, he was emboldened by the Spirit to stand strong and speak on behalf of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. There's a moment, truly, when Peter and John both could have buckled under the pressure. If you have the high priest, if you have the Pharisees, if you have the very people that brought Jesus to the cross, that tried him and condemned him to death, and now here you are a couple months down the road, and now they're encircling you. Here's your moment where the rubber meets the road. They could be bold and speak on behalf of Jesus, or they could buckle and run. But they were emboldened to speak the truth, even to those who had the power to imprison, publicly beat them, which, you know, they do that in Acts chapter 5 when they're brought before them, and even stone them, which they do with Stephen in Acts chapter 7. They spoke the truth. Peter would never again deny Christ. He would face the council. He would face persecution. And ultimately, he will face watching his wife be crucified and then be crucified himself. So this boldness we see rising up within him in Acts chapter 4 is very real. It can only be brought about by the work of the Lord in our lives and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We must be submitting ourselves to the work of the Lord, to the work of his word, to gain this level of boldness, to walk in the authority he's granted us. Number two, we've got to submit to the Lord's refining, which I just touched on. You know, these were unlearned and ignorant men. Okay. I just have to stop and say, don't ever worry about being politically correct, okay? Because the Word of God was definitely not politically correct. They were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, I don't propose you go out telling people that they were ignorant or unlearned, but I'm just saying, stay true to truth. Okay, so these were unlearned and ignorant men, as the King James Version relays. But because of their time with the Lord, they've been refined into effective ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. Number three, stay anchored to the homeland through prayer. What's the homeland? Heaven. Peter, as well as the other apostles' prayer life, quickly grew, and it kept them anchored to truth and open for revelation. Acts records 30 references to or direct prayers of the apostles and the early church. In fact, there's over 330 either direct prayers or references to prayer in the New Testament. Prayer is a key element in our walk with God. If Acts is the bridge between the Gospels and the epistles, and we learn through reading the book of Acts that the support structure of the bridge is prayer, and the common thread throughout the word is prayer. So why would we, who arguably live in times just as tumultuous, not remain people of prayer? It's here that we gain intimacy and oneness with our King. It's through prayer that we learn the importance of relying on the Lord, the King of our homeland, for our strength, our words, and our messages. It's here where we learn what his will and his ways are so that we can implement them in the earth. We are vessels through which he brings forth his kingdom in the earth. Staying anchored through prayer enables us to be effective vessels. Number four, report back the praises of God's victory. If we're going to be effective ambassadors, I'm telling you, reporting the praises back, it's so important, and it encourages the body. The healing of the lame man opened the door for a revival. In addition, Peter and John had the opportunity to speak truth to those who'd persecuted Christ. And together, they celebrated the fruit of this amazing miracle. A man was healed, and 5,000 men were added to the church through the teaching that followed. Reporting back to the others and giving God glory for what he's done lifts the faith, encourages, and strengthens the body of Christ. That's one reason why we do our praise reports at the beginning of these calls, to lift our faith before we pray. Number five, in difficult times, seek God for more boldness. We are never finished growing. And we're never finished learning. Even as the awakening expands, which was released last year, and revival spreads, which Daryl talked about the revival opportunity that Graham had, we will always need to lean, trust in, and rely upon our Lord for the strength and the courage and the empowerment of His Spirit to represent His kingdom here on earth. When we seek Him for more boldness, He will bring the power, the authority, and everything we need to be effective or to effectively represent His kingdom. And then we can work alongside Him to bring forth His heavenly will here on earth. And, you know, in Acts 4:31, we see God shake the place up as a result of them reporting back. So let's read that. So Acts 4:23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against this thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And then number six, remember who you represent. We are citizens of heaven, and we have the privilege to walk this earth for a brief period, and our goal must consistently be to expand the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, whether this is in the public square like Peter and John or in the prayer closet like James, who history records prayed so much his knees were like elephant knees. We are working together to not just save America. We're working to pave the way for a move of God that will bring about a billion soul harvest. Some are going to be mocked in the midst of it, persecuted, or even martyred for the sake of the gospel. And we see that happening in other countries. We have more people have been martyred for the sake of the gospel in the last 100 years than all the 19 centuries prior. Think about that. But God uses these things to glorify his kingdom in the earth. America, like this lame man we talked about both last week and this, desperately needs the intervention of God to put us back on our feet. Without him, we cannot fulfill the destiny he placed upon this nation to go forth and spread the gospel unto all the earth. That great commission, it's our commission. So as ambassadors and intercessors, our purpose is to strengthen and stabilize this nation, to pull it back up on its feet, to weep in war, to ensure the plans and purposes of the enemy fail, and that God's plans prevail. And all the praise reports that we share at the beginning of our calls, along with the victories that we're going to witness in the coming days, let us never, ever forget the importance of staying on course. You know, I heard one pastor say, and since we're not dead, we're not done. And I completely agree with this statement. If we let up, the enemy will pounce. If we neglect to pursue God's plans as his ambassadors, the victories will begin to diminish. And we just can't afford this. We've got to continue in this momentum. We've got a nation to save. And in so doing, we're going to impact the nations of the earth. So, our ultimate objective, as you know, we've been praying about this for a long time, is to break the back of communism off America and as many nations as we possibly can, so the Spirit of God can freely flow across the land and set those captives free. That's the vision. That's what it means, the vision that the Lord gave of the eagle, the flag, and the five weights. President Trump and his team are going to need the support of the ambassadors of heaven in the next several years, and we've got to stay that course. And I really want to close by probably giving one more point, and that is we've got to remain in one accord. And I would encourage you not to engage in internet conflicts. They divide to conquer. And the enemy really stirred up, even in the conservative movement, a lot of division in 2016 and 2020, and he's still at it. We've got to remain in one accord to rebuild this nation. You know, I read an article a while back about the Amish, and it's 300 Amish move a 10-ton barn 900 feet in 20 minutes. Of course, I had to watch the video of that, right? It was a remarkable thing to witness. The unity that they had to stay the course and avoid injury to themselves or one another, it was amazing. It looked like a building with, it looked like a centipede moving about. And if you look at the camera as it's angling in, there's somebody inside guiding and directing them. And they all had to flow in one accord. And that just spoke to me. It gave me such a visual for the unity that the Lord is wanting us to walk in. We've got to move in one accord. Isn't that what Acts teaches us? Every time there was oppression, persecution, or doubt, they came together in one accord and sought the face of God for their answers. That principle is a key principle for ambassadors. If we'll be so bold as to take and apply these lessons to our lives, even if we don't understand things with our natural mind, we got to pray for His heavenly will to be done in this earth. And we know if we'll do that, really do that, we won't go off course. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for these steps. I thank you, Father God, that we have the privilege to have your word in front of us and read the wonders of your kingdom, the wonders of the miracles that were done, the wonders of the word that was spoken. And to glean from these things precepts for our own lives. I ask, Lord God, that you would just unpack and really unveil it to us. Even as we move through this holiday season, through Christmas or Hanukkah, let us not let up in our prayer. Let us not let up in our time in your word. But let this be a time, Lord God, where we grow deeper and deeper in you. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen.